So I will never forget when the Lord told me, he said, good people, and I'm talking about good people, are going to miss the mark.
Yeah.
Good people mm-hmm. are going to spend eternity in hell because we are afraid right. to talk about these things.
Right.
Your child's favorite kindergarten teacher, your favorite postman, because we're just afraid to go deeper.
Welcome to A Christian Podcast, the podcast where we have Christ-centered conversations. I'm your host, Kevin Wilson. I'm going to go around the table to my left. Y'all just introduce yourself real quick.
Hey, y'all. My name is Tari.
What's up, y'all? My name is Rail.
Yo, yo. Yannick here.
Cool. So today we are talking about, I'm calling this episode War Zone, right? Because we're talking about the spirit realm. And the spirit realm is something that you can't see, right? With your physical eyes.
Right.
And so, because you can't see it, it's very easy to ignore it. It's very easy to not even believe it or not even know. If I'm being honest, I wasn't really aware of it for real, until like 2019. Mm-hmm. I'm 24 years old, about to be 25. And it wasn't until my pastor started preaching about the spirit realm, and he was talking about this guy that, you know, was just noticing this demonic stuff. And it wasn't until then that I was like, and even then, at certain times, I would hear people talk about, oh, that's demonic. And I'd be like, y'all being dramatic. Just say you don't like it, or just say this is not right. But like, everything ain't got to be demonic or whatever. But it's very real, right? 100% undeniable. And so this episode is deep. Like, we're not going to, like, beat around the bush. We have scripture. We're going to walk through it. And it's going to be very, like, just a conversational like a conversational encounter with what the spirit realm is, mm-hmm. right? So we're just going to be very transparent and we're going to hop into it.
Let's go.
So my first question is, how could you guys best explain the spirit realm, just like from the natural perspective of like, how do you break it down to somebody that doesn't know what it is, has never heard of it, like the spirit realm? It could seem like kind of weird. Yeah. I need everybody to go ahead and watch.
Like, we're trying to.
Ooh, that's a tough one.
Well, before we even break down that definition, I think I want to express how the spirit realm is so much more real than the natural realm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's a good way to even start that off. I would say, since the spirit realm is so much more real than the natural realm, we have to understand that we're the ones who kind of just showed up on the scene. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're the ones who, I don't even know how to, God, I'm trying to not water it down, but make it simplified.
It existed before we did.
Exactly. It existed before we did. It's obviously something that we don't see with our natural eye.
Yeah.
Obviously. But it's also, I don't even know how to explain. It's just, you have to, what you thinking about, Yannick? I see you over there pondering.
I'm just thinking, right? I mean, we're saying like the spirit realm, right? And it's like a realm is, a realm is an environment, right? Mm-hmm. A place. And so it's like, for me, when I'm processing that, I'm like, well, it's just like the environment which spirits almost move and operate and essentially have their being. Like, we're on earth here. And it's like, this is our realm almost.
Mm-hmm.
And the spirit realm, if I could put it in other words, is just, hey, this is the space in which pretty much spirits move, spirits act, spirits do what they do. So, I mean, that's what I could think of, but that's a tough one.
It is.
It's a tough one.
Yeah. I heard Isaiah Saldivar, he was talking about it a little bit, and he was saying, he just made a quick, one of the scriptures you talk about is, I knew you before you were formed. Like,
mm-hmm.
before you were formed, I knew you. Mm-hmm. So it's like, how can you know something that isn't formed physically? And he was talking about, because spiritually you were there. Like, you spiritually, you were formed. Spiritually, God knew you before you were even. And so when we talk about the spirit realm, how I, because I'm a visual person. So have y'all ever watched Iron Man? Mm-hmm. And have you ever seen when he gets this suit? Mm-hmm. And you can see, like, the, what is it called? The heads up display, mm-hmm. where you can see like information and other stuff and how it interacts with the real world, mm-hmm. but it's just over top of the actual world. Mm-hmm. So, like, I imagine it like that. So, put on, if you haven't seen it, just type in Iron Man HUD heads up display. You'll know what I'm talking about. And it's a realm that affects reality on Earth, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can't see it. Like, if you're just walking around, looking around with just your natural eyes, you're not going to be able to see demons, right? Mm-hmm. Some people do have the ability to see in the spirit. And so some people can see stuff spiritually. But with your own physical eyes, nobody can see what's going on in the spirit realm. And so a lot of things, when we talk about, like, demonic things, even like I told y'all myself, I was like, everything ain't demonic. We believe what we want to believe a lot of times, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. We believe in angels, but, like, for some reason, like, the concept of demons, we don't want to. Mm-hmm. And the yeah. fact that we believe that angels can help us, but we don't believe that demons can harm us.
Right.
Right.
What do we need angels for if there are no demons?
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
Man, I feel like you had something to say.
No, it's just... Man, that kind of blew me away, that illustration, right, of Iron Man. Because, like, it's, when you said that, like, the first word, the words that came to mind is, like, almost like a screen overlay. Like, you know,
yeah,
it's like,
yeah,
you know, this is what we see, and then there's something else that's right on top of it, but yet, like, it's accessible, but yet
yeah.
not everyone sees it, you know. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, and I was even, like, you know, thinking of... not sure if this is a show that people watch anymore or even watch at all, but it's like, it's naturally supernatural, I think, by like Sid Roth or something like that. And they talk about, like, pretty much like supernatural stuff from a biblical perspective. And so one of the times there was a guy that was like a seer or had a gift of seeing in the spirit. And so he would, like, walk around. I mean, he was pretty much describing his experience and how essentially he would be walking, mm-hmm. like, just like anyone else, but yet, like, he's seeing stuff on top of people. Like, he would see, like, someone that's maybe, like, going through, like, I don't know, like, migraine or whatever, and, like,
yep.
pretty much, like, little demons, like, you know, on yeah. the top of their head or something, yeah. like, stuff like that. And, I mean, it sounds weird, but I'm like, even myself, when I heard, I'm like, come on, man, like, serious, you know. But I think it's that was a pretty nice way of putting it, right? Like, it's like a like an overlay, like it's like another layer, pretty much, of reality.
Yeah, yeah.
That we don't see.
It made me think of Aquaman. Mm. Like, at first, I was like, oh, we're going there. So I felt like, at first, we're like, maybe we're trying to give the legit definition of the spiritual realm.
No, you don't even, I just want to get people there, because it's not, it don't make sense, yeah. for real. Like,
right.
Even if you listen to it and you still like, that sounds crazy, you're absolutely right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because to the natural mind, that doesn't, what are you talking about? It's stuff that I can't see, right. that affects stuff that I can see.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
weird.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we all got to admit, that's not... Mm-hmm. I could never be mad at nobody for not understanding that.
That's all right, yeah.
Because
that don't make sense.
Right.
No, it doesn't.
But where were you?
Oh, yeah, with the Aquaman. Like, I think it's when you guys started talking, I was like, yeah, it's starting to flow, it's starting to come, breaking down that analogy. But with Aquaman, if you saw it, you saw how he could obviously... He had a life here on Earth. Right. And then obviously he had a whole different world and life in the bottom of the ocean. Mm-hmm. Right. So his war was actually down there against his brother. You know, so if you think about it, that is literally how the spiritual realm is. You know, it's two parts. You have, you know, Earth, and you have that different realm. And it was really cool in the movie to see how he went from both.
Yeah.
You know, how he had yeah. challenges and things going on in his life, and it was pretty solid here on Earth. But once he went down to his spiritual realm, mm-hmm. and he had to fight and he had to war, and, you know, for his own being, mm-hmm. to even be on Earth, you know, mm-hmm. for his livelihood on Earth,
yeah.
and how that realm was affecting his life.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best way I can explain it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. yeah. So when is the first time that you can remember, and I'll go first so it can stir up your mind, the first time that you can remember the spirit realm becoming real, or like you realize like, oh, this ain't a joke, this is real life. So like for me,
wait,
for me, I'm gonna just shoot it straight. Like, I ain't gonna give no details, but I was with a group of believers and we were with somebody that had a manifestation of a demon and it got casted out. And wow. I was like, what's going on? What's happening? And so like, for me and a lot of people, like I'm a pretty logical guy. So I mean, it wasn't that anybody ever went up to me and was like, yo, demons, angels, all this stuff, it's real. And I was like, no, it's not. I never had a thought like it's not real. I never thought that, right?
Oh, man.
But I also was ignorant of it, like the existence of it. Mm-hmm. And so when I saw that, I was like, oh, okay.
It's real.
Okay. Like it really made me look into it. Like this is not a joke. Like these mm-hmm. things really affect us. Yeah.
I would say for me, like a similar experience, but I had actually, I opened up my book about this. So I was seeing in the spirit at a very young age. I just didn't know it. Mm-hmm. Like, I specifically remember I was laying in the bed with my parents and they were sleeping. And I saw this demonic figure. At the time, I didn't know it was a demon. Like, I was like, why am I seeing this? But my eyes are closed. Like, it was like, literally, I could see it, but my eyes were closed. Mm-hmm. And it was like pulling off the comforter. Now, I mean, I know this is kind of like, we going there. So, hey, we here now.
That's what we're here for.
I mean, we here now. Right. But it was pulling off the comforter from me very slowly. And it had these really long nails and like these fangs. And it was looking at me. The way I described it in my book is like, it was everything. I was everything it had been waiting on.
Wow.
Mm. And I literally didn't open my eyes because I was scared. And I knew that nobody could ever, like, tell me that it wasn't happening. But I was young. I kid you not. I was like, I don't know, like, maybe 7? Like, I don't know.
Dang.
But the thing is, though, the comforter actually did move. And how I know this is because my father, and we've never talked about it, but he shot up in the bed.
Wow.
Like, he shot up straight in the bed. We have never talked about this, but I remember it clear as day. And he looked wow. around, and I just pretended I was sleeping because I felt like I didn't know what
you
had
know
just
how
happened.
You don't know how to deal with that. You don't yeah. know what, like.
Right.
But the thing is, though, it was a memory that I carried for a long time, but then, you know, just kind of got lost. And, you know, I didn't radically pursue Christ until late, and you know, in adulthood. But Holy Spirit brought that back to my remembrance mm-hmm. once I started to become more aware of the spirit realm. And I was like, Tari, that was a demon. Like he said, like, that was a literal demon. Like, you had a demonic visitation and you were seeing in the spirit realm. Because I could not describe to anybody why I could see that when my eyes were closed. Like, it's different when, yeah. I'm sure there are some people where they're seers or they have that gift and they're walking around. I don't know. But like, my eyes were closed. I was sleeping and I could see this thing. And I physically felt the comforter move. So like,
wow.
That was my first experience, but I didn't know it until later on. And yeah. then I experienced a manifestation through somebody that demon got casted out, all that stuff. And so this definitely yeah. makes everything
it's real.
More real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say for me, my story is a little different. So I actually saw the hand of God before demonic, mm-hmm. you know, things. I'll say for me, the first time I ever saw like a demon, like in my sleep was the day I came and prayed at incubation that night mm-hmm. When I tried to go to bed. But for me, I started believing in the spiritual realm and demonic activity. Honestly, the moment my family started tearing apart.
Mm-hmm.
So like when my parents were going through what they were going through and they were going through their divorce and everything like that, there was a certain, I had a dream and actually the enemy was talking to me in the dream. And I was in a car, I was on a bridge and it was a car crash and I was trying to save my family from destruction. And so as I kept trying to pull them out of the car, I had to stay on a level path. But this big, dark spirit, this shadow was saying, like, if you go too far left, if you go too far right, like, it's destruction.
Oh, wow.
And, like, I'm going to get them, you know? And so that was one of my first encounters that I ever had in a dream during that time. But for me, my first time even God showing me that he was real, it was literally, I was going to the car to go get my dad's phone. I was literally fasting. I was in eighth grade. And I told God, I was like, if you're real, I want you to show me with my, like, I want you to show me in my conscience, and I want you to show me with my eyes.
Wow.
And so I opened the car door and I looked up in the sky, and it was three floating doves in the sky. I started screaming and nothing could come out. So I'm telling, that's when it's a little bit different for me, but that was my first experience.
Wow.
You're different, because I wasn't fasting in eighth grade.
She's different.
I was not fasting in eighth grade.
I didn't even start fasting until after college.
Yeah, no, for real.
No, serious. That's a tough one. But I think as Rilis was talking, I would say, like, my first experience of the spiritual realm was when I was like 17. I was like 2 weeks out from going to college at A&T. I geek pride, even though I didn't, you know. I couldn't say with all my chest because I didn't actually graduate from there, so, you know. But 2 weeks out from when I was actually supposed to go to college, I was just like praying to God, and I was just like, God, like, if you're real, just reveal yourself.
Yeah.
Same thing. I was praying, like, if you're real, like, you know. And at that point, I was like, I wouldn't say I was doubting my faith, but I was just like, I was tired of, like, just speaking of other people's experiences, because I was like, well, my parents got their own experience, my pastor has his own experience, and I'm like, mm-hmm. when am I gonna have my own experience? And I was like, God, I want mm-hmm. something tangible, like, mm-hmm. that tells me that, like, you're real. And that was one prayer. If any prayer that I've prayed before, that's one of those that I, like, I don't want to say regret, but it's like, mm-hmm. man, it's like, I'm not gonna pray that again. You know. But essentially, so 2 weeks off, I'm driving, going to work. I wasn't even supposed to go to work that day. I got called in. I was like, all right, sure, I'm going to go in. Mm-hmm. So I started driving on the highway. Get on the highway. I'm going about 60, going 65, 70. About to go into a ramp, like, on the highway. Next thing you know, both of my tires go out, like, in the front at the same time. Just pop. Lose control of the car. I'm like, okay, I can't really control it. So there was only two way to go. It's either I go to the right and pretty much get hit with just cars coming in at 85, you know, at least 80, 85. And to the left is, so right, it's like right before a bridge. So my car would literally, it literally means my car is going to flip over and fall on the highway directly coming onto, like, oncoming traffic on the other side. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, yo, like, like, God, is this for real? Like, is this it? Like, you know, and at that time, I was just obviously like, I'm like, okay, I'm just about to go to college. I'm like, yo, God, like, is this for real? Like, is this it? Like, and I remember the last thing that I said was, like, are you done with me?
Wow.
And while I was saying, are you done with me? Now, mind you, my car hits the curb. It flips over right before the bridge, right? There's, like, obviously, like, the grass area. So it flips over. I'm in the car, eyes open the whole time. My car begins to flip, like, literally, and I couldn't control anything. I just, like, was just watching everything happen. And so it flipped one time, second time around. When it flips the second time around, I mean, I would literally say it's probably, like, 3 or 4 feet off of the ground. And the car was upside down, like, at that point. And I'm literally, like, upside down looking at the ground. Like, I see it right there. And I don't know, like, how it happened. But somehow, between that, the ground and that four foot, like, height, literally the car flipped one more time completely and landed on its tires. And I was just like, that's, like, impossible for a car that's 4 foot, like, off of the ground, upside down, to do a full, complete turn and land on its tires. Like, there is no way.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
There is no way. You know, and whole time, my eyes, like, were open, and I'm watching this, and I'm like, I get out of the car, and actually I still have like that little scar, but literally that's the only scar that I had. I mean, literally from the whole accident.
Wow.
And I'm over here sitting down, like, oh my gosh, like, this is surreal. I get out of the car, and then there's like cars like parked like on the side of the highway, like, and all of these people are just yelling like, yo, like, God must really love you. Like, you know, but in the whole, like, yo, whole time I'm just like, yeah, like, I'm glad, like, da da da. But it's like the whole time I'm just sitting down, like, yo, like, did I just really see that? Like, you know, mm-hmm. like, what caused, like, and that's something I wonder. I was like, what caused this car, like, what force caused this car to flip a whole, like, 360 and land on its tires again? Like, surreal. And for me, I'll say, like, that's the first time I was just like, okay, like, there's no way, you know, and that's my first, I would say, like, my first real experience with, like, the spirit realm, because I was like, yeah, there's nothing physical that was around the car, so it had to be something, you know, from the realm of the spirit. So, yeah.
Well,
yeah, if you after that, you got to be like, all right, God, yeah, I hear you, I see you.
No,
yeah.
No more doubting, man. That thing went out the window, for real. But, yeah, I mean, actually, like, I mean, that was crazy experience for me, at least. But eventually when I started like growing in my faith and I started like reading the word, fasting and started growing in Christ, like probably one of the craziest experiences I had like of the realm of the spirit was when I was just fasting and praying and I was in my room and I literally felt the physical presence of like a spirit like on my bed. And I can like remember this cause like even like, and it's like the aura, the aura of it, it's like you. I can tell like it was a like I don't want to say like a feminine energy, but it's like I can tell that it's like a seductive, almost like a seductive spirit. And the worst part was, I even heard like the bed, like I mean the bed, like physically, like you can tell like somebody just almost like somebody just sat down and you hear the noise. Mm-hmm. And so I was just like, look, I'm not. Like I'm not tripping, right? So it's one of those things where after that happened, then like I mean obviously I was going like deeper because it was like a time, again it was a time where I was going deep, and at that moment in time like there was like a tangible presence of God. Like I felt like I'm almost like, if I could describe it, like going into like the glory, the presence of God. Mm-hmm. And so for me it was almost like a distraction, and I didn't know that until afterwards, but it's like it was almost like a distraction that came pretty much, because it's like the moment like that instead of me focusing on, hey, like keep pushing to go deeper, mm-hmm. right, in the presence of God, like now I'm having to like pray prayers against the spirit. So mm-hmm. it's like mm-hmm. my focus in the realm of the spirit shifts from God to a spirit, and I'm just like, I mean, to casting a spirit, and I'm mm-hmm. just like, well, the reality is, if you're pursuing God and you're in the presence of God and you're in the realm of glory, mm-hmm. just continue to go deeper, because the mm-hmm. deeper you go, like the less spirits are going to matter, because, you know, as you're getting closer, it's like, well, there's going to come a time where like a place and a time in God or in the presence of God where spirits can't be. Mm-hmm. So it's like, instead of focusing on the spirit, what I should have done was, of course, go deeper into the presence of God. But it just shifted my attention to like casting or, you know, or pushing that, like that presence or that feeling away. So that was really weird experience.
But no, that's a good, actually that's perfect to get us to the next place, which is we have to understand that it's two kingdoms. I call this episode War Zone, right? Mm-hmm. In a war, there's two different teams. There's two different, there's one side here, one side there, fighting for something, right? Mm-hmm. The enemy is constantly fighting for us, right?
Yes.
Just like God and angels are fighting for, which God's already won the battle, but the enemy's constantly fighting. I wrote this thought the other day. I was like, the enemy is a lot of things, right? But he's not lazy. Mm-hmm. Like we can go down the list of a lot of things that the enemy is.
Yeah.
He is not, he and his kingdom, they are not lazy. Mm-hmm. They're not going to stop. They're not like, oh, right. When you get to a comfortable place, we're going to just take a rest. No, like,
no.
The goal of the enemy is for you to not make it to heaven.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Even more so than for you to live a terrible life on earth. Mm-hmm. Because, and that's why a lot of people are deceived.
Yep.
Because they think living a good life here on earth like, if everything's going perfectly for me, why do I need God? Mm. Why would I need to accept Jesus Christ? If I'm the enemy, I know this time on earth is like a small, like a little, just a small speck in comparison to eternity, right?
Right.
Yeah.
I would let you live a great life on earth if that meant that you were going to forsake Jesus and go to hell.
Right.
I would give you everything. And, oh, yeah. And the enemy can bless us, right? The enemy can give us things, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you see entertainers, people, celebrities, whatever. Of course I'm gonna let you think that you just got everything made, that you don't need nothing here on earth so that I can have you for eternity.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to recognize, and going back to what Yannick was saying, there is a war.
Right.
So in that moment, Yannick's in a good place. He's entering the secret place. He's like, I'm with God. I'm trying to spend time, I'm fasting, I'm praying, I'm seeking. Why would the enemy not try to tamper with that?
Exactly.
And how that helps when you realize that is, oh, this is what this is.
Mm-hmm.
Now I can take dominion over it.
Right.
Satan, stop.
Just
pretty much.
Just stop it.
Because when you really recognize your authority as a believer, certain times, there are times to go in and prayer.
Yeah.
And there are times to just be like, Satan, stop.
We know
you lost.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So don't even, why are we doing this, right?
Right.
And so I think that was a good place to just bring us to recognize that, like, this is a war.
Mm-hmm.
This is a whole war.
Yeah.
Question is, in your experience, right?
Mm-hmm.
How do you, or how does the way you perceive the spirit realm affect you on a daily life, like just on a daily? Like, how do you enter, like, I think because all of us, let me bring us back to a place where people are listening. We're at a place where we've had this knowledge for quite some time, right?
Mm-hmm.
So just how I said, here we go. This is what I'm going to do. The other day, we were on the phone. I was on the phone with Real talking about this day, about scheduling and all this stuff, right? Russ said, "Kev, how are you doing?" I was like, "Yeah, I'm all right. You know how guys be. Yeah, I'm okay." Mm-hmm. She was like, "You sound a little like tired and a little weary."
Yeah.
And I was like, "Yeah, you know." But she was like, "No, but not just about this, but just like in life."
Mm-hmm.
So for somebody that is not really paying attention, you're like, "Well, maybe he just sounds sleepy on the phone."
Right.
No. Real could understand in the spirit that I was tired, that I was stressed, that I was at a point in my life where I'm like a little overwhelmed.
Yeah.
And she was able to not only realize that, but she was also able to pray against it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's, I want to make sure that we not kind of like overlooking the times that we interact with the spirit realm.
Mm-hmm.
Because we can do it often because we are aware of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think when you open your eyes to it, it's hard to ignore it. Like, once your eyes are open, they're open.
True. They are open.
Mm-hmm. When your life has been at risk.
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Yeah. It's I can't wake up and decide this is not a thing anymore.
Right.
It's a thing. You know, like, every day, the enemy, like you said, he doesn't rest.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people are afraid to go deeper in Christ because of this subject right here.
Yeah.
But the thing about it is, the enemy, he's crafty.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to have you to believe that everything is peachy when you are in a settled place.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I just stay right here with Christ, the devil ain't going to bother me. I'm not going to see demons if I stay right here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not going to go through this if I stay right here. But it's actually one of the worst places. Like, you can be, because God has so much more, like, and it's a fear,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's a fear to, it's a control thing to not go deeper into God, because of, if I go too deep, then I'm gonna start seeing this and I'm gonna start experiencing that. But it's a lie from the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, God, he wants us to to not be afraid to go deeper because of other things. I will never forget last year. I was so fearful to say this, but, you know, I'm a little bolder now. So okay. I will never forget when the Lord told me, he said, good people, and I'm talking about good people, are going to miss the mark.
Yeah.
Good people mm-hmm. are going to spend eternity in hell because we are afraid right. to talk about these things.
Right.
Your child's favorite kindergarten teacher, your favorite postman, because we're just afraid to go deeper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so it's every day. It's because we don't fight against flesh and blood.
That's right.
Yeah. I literally, like, I don't know if y'all saw me touch my iPad.
I got it pulled up right here.
Literally, like, a minute ago, I just pulled that scripture up.
Ephesians 6:12. Yeah.
Let me just read it right now then, because yeah. that's you right there. So, Ephesians 6, I'm going to start at 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the devil's schemes. I want to stop there. You don't need armor if you're not in a war, mm-hmm. right? God wouldn't tell us to just be putting on armor for no reason. So right. we're just walking around with this night suit with all this gear. So, like, we could stop there. If you've ever doubted that the spirit realm is real, mm-hmm. I don't even have to read the rest. Mm-hmm. Ephesians 6:10. Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the devil's schemes. Mm-hmm. He's clearly showing you that the devil is real,
yeah.
right? God's real, but God's also provided us the tools that we need to fight against the enemy, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm going to go on 12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against mm-hmm. the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Yeah. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then. As a matter of fact, before I read this scripture, because I know if you listen to this episode, it can almost seem a little scary. Like, dang, mm-hmm. they talking about all this and that and demons mm-hmm. and this and that.
Yeah.
Right here is where you should get happy, because you're like, okay, thank you, Lord, because you provided armor for us to stand against the enemy, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so this should be something that you are cognizant of every day. I'm not going to sit here and tell y'all that every single day I recite this scripture, but I try to as often as possible, especially when intense times of spiritual warfare or when just stuff in life ain't yeah. going right.
Yeah.
A lot of time it's not just life.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like
that's
I
right.
said, the spirit realm affects the natural realm. So if you're noticing you're on a consistent streak of just terrible stuff going on,
mm-hmm.
it's time to take authority over that in the spirit, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so one of those scriptures that will help you do that is this 14. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God.
God, I love that sword.
Hallelujah.
That sword, okay.
Yeah. And so, like, you know, two of the things I want to point out is shield of faith, right? Mm-hmm. Which, when I think of the shield of faith, I get happy because I realize one of my biggest thing of defense was your shield, right? If I'm fighting you and I got all these arrows and stuff, the shield, I mean, breastplate, great, helmet, all this stuff. But if I just stand in front of my shield, most of my body is covered, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Faith is not like one size fits all faith. Like you can have faith that's small one day and faith that's really large, right?
Right.
And so when it says the shield of faith, it makes me realize my level of protection is only equal to my level of faith.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I imagine, this is going to sound crazy, if I have just a tiny bit of faith, I still have protection, I still have faith, but I'm just imagining somebody holding like this little baby,
yeah.
this little yeah. baby shield. Like, it's cool. Yeah. You guys better yeah. than nothing.
It's a shield.
Yeah.
But it's a shield. But when I have huge faith, I have this giant shield that, like, I could barely even hold up, but it's covering my whole self, yeah. right?
Right. The rest of your armor, too.
Yeah.
Right.
You have to think about like the first thing when you are in war, when someone attacks you or, you know, is coming forward towards you, the first thing you're going to throw up is your shield.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So before it even attacks or touches anything else in your body, even the enemy, like I said, he's going to attack your faith first.
Mm-hmm.
So even with that, you have to realize how important it is. Like, the whole point of being a believer is having faith in Jesus Christ.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So when it comes to, that's why we always have to stir up our faith and build our faith, because that's the first thing that the enemy attacks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
And I think that kind of goes hand in hand, right? I mean, you're saying like the shield, obviously that's the first thing you throw up, but the next thing is the sword, because granted, if we look at just having, you know, having faith, then we are having faith or just having the shield, then we are on the defensive all the time, which a lot of times in the church, that's our stance, is that we just are always defensive. Well, I'm just like, as long as I'm not taking any hits and I can, you know, but not knowing that the more hits you're taking, the weaker you're getting. So at some point you're going to have to, you know, throw some jabs back, right? You're going to have to fight back. And so that's when like the sword comes in. But in reality, it goes hand in hand, because our faith is built on the word, right?
Yeah.
You know, faith comes by, right? You know, by the word. So by hearing the word. And so in that, it's like it almost goes hand in hand. Like, we have to have the sword. We have to have, you know, the faith. And we really can't have that much of a great faith if there is not that much word in us. And to be quite honest, that's probably like, I mean, I know, like, of course the enemy always, you know, find ways to even attack like our prayer life and everything like that. But I think even beyond that, like, even some people that do have like a great prayer life, sometimes they do struggle with reading the word. But if you don't really have anything to stand on, like as far as the word is concerned, then you really have nothing. Because in reality, if we look at Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus was being tempted, that's all he had to stand on was the word. He didn't come and say, well, because I am the Son of God, or like, you know, because I'm a child of God, then you can't do nothing to me. No, he came with scriptures.
It is
like,
written.
You know, that's it is written, right? So it's like he knew the word. He was the word, but he knew the word, right?
Yeah.
And so it's like, if he was the word himself in the flesh and he still had to know the word, it's like, how much more us, you know,
that's right.
Like in this
that's
world,
good.
You know?
So, that's real.
Yeah.
And as you say that, kind of what you were basically saying, like, when I look at all of them, all of the full armor of God, the sword is the only thing that you use offensively. You know what I'm saying? Everything else in the whole armor is meant for defense or just, you know, protection of, you know. But the only thing that we use is the word.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so, like you said, we don't know the word.
Trouble,
we're pretty vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
So, Tari, I want you to, like, talk about when, how do I say this?
Shoot it to me straight.
Nah, because I don't even know it. It's just like literally I got a Holy Spirit's given to me as I go. Share something. I don't know why. I don't know why I'm asking you this. I don't have it written down. I literally don't know why. So we're just going to see
what
happens.
Come on, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit just working it out. Share something, because I feel like you have something. You've been quiet this episode. And anytime Tari quiet, that don't mean that she ain't got nothing to say.
She's loaded.
I am loaded over here.
Yeah, I know you are.
You know, being
so matter
strategic.
Of fact, we just going to actually, I'm going to let you share whatever you're thinking about this topic, because I feel like you have something to say. I don't know what it is, though.
honestly, like there's a certain revelation that happens when you come to understand that the word is truth. Like, I was literally reflecting on this driving here, where I feel like a lot of believers, they don't know the assault against their identity in Christ. But it's really, for me, I didn't understand that the Bible was truth. Like, it's like you internally, consciously, you think, okay, the Bible, like, let me go to the Bible because it's the Bible. But I remember it was February. It was after honestly, after I had went through a very tough season in my life, and it just clicked me. I said, this is truth. It clicked to me in a different way. It clicked to me that this is unwavering truth, like infallible truth.
Mm-hmm.
And so kind of like what you said, because we cannot, you can't go tit for tat with the enemy with your own thoughts, because our minds are folly by itself without the word of God.
Yeah, yeah.
And to be honest, I mean, we naturally have a sinful nature.
Yeah.
So we're already like, that's why Jesus gave us dominion. Mm-hmm. So we need something outside of ourselves to combat the spirit realm.
Yep.
And that goes back to the word of God. And so I'm just thinking of all the moments where, you know, I can, like I can go, and I mean, don't get me wrong, because like you should pray in the spirit, and quite frankly, I think it's in the word, or I believe, but like praying in the spirit frequently, like, but I remember I was dealing with the spirit of heaviness, and I had to pray the word. Like I literally had to confess the word. Mm-hmm. So like that looks different from, Lord, this is just really hard. And I'm not dismissing those things, because the word tells us that we don't have a high priest that doesn't empathize with us.
Right.
So like we can confess our emotions, but you have to sandwich that with what the truth is about it. Mm. So like it looks like, Lord, you give me a garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness.
Yeah.
Luke 10:19, I have authority to over snakes and scorpions, and no power of the enemy can, like you have to start confessing that stuff, because if you're dealing with the spirit realm, you have to use the sword of the spirit.
Yep.
Like there is no other weapon that can defeat the enemy other than the word of God, because he's the word made flesh and he defeated all. So I was just like, just sitting here very practically thinking back to all those moments where, as the Lord, by his grace, I've just like developed in maturity and stuff like that. And I think that's the wonderful thing about walking with God. Like there's always more. And honestly, authority, it becomes secondhand. Like, I mean, it's always a part of you, but the oohs and ahs of like, you know, casting out demons and all that stuff, like it's really the intimacy of God that you just come to really be after, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when I realized that, like, it's like the truth of his word just becomes more potent over time to me, where it's like, there is absolutely nothing that I cannot get through.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I was just really, that's why I was quiet, because I was sitting here thinking about those moments where I literally had to, like, I'm not exaggerating, I've like had to pray, like literally crawl to my prayer corner, because I knew I needed to get in the presence of God, because I was dealing with a spirit of heaviness.
Mm.
So not like, dang, I had a rough day. Like I could feel that on me. And I knew that the only thing that could break that was the word of God.
Yeah.
Mm. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
You can't therapize a spirit.
No, you cannot. That's another, you know, somebody that
you can't, your girlfriend can't take you out to dinner and be like, I know you've been depressed, so I just want to take you out. No, I need you to put some oil on my head.
Yeah.
And get and pray, fight the spirit with the spirit.
And you know, the Lord, he told me that, so for everybody listening, like I have a background in clinical psychology. And so he told me that your head knowledge is supposed to serve as a weapon in the spirit.
Mm.
So like what you can do is actually go in with the information that you know. So there are literally certain parts of the brain that when I'm praying, I speak to that.
Mm.
I will speak to the frontal lobe. I will speak to, like, I will go all the way there. Why would I not? If the Lord has graced me with the ability to have this knowledge, why would he just give it to me just to say I have it? Like, that doesn't, you know, that doesn't do anything. That doesn't affirm me in any way, shape, or form. And so, like Real said, there's a very real part of dealing with the spirit realm, and I keep going back to like mental health and all that, but God, again, like Jesus wouldn't have came in flesh if we were supposed to ignore our emotions.
Yeah. Right.
But at the same time, those have to submit to the word of God. And so by submission, the spirit behind it. So everything that happens in the natural is preceded by something in the spirit.
Yeah.
So you have to go to the source, which is in the spirit realm.
Absolutely. So as you were speaking, I got a different direction. Not even different. It's just we were flowing. You have a book, Tari, called Saved and Suicidal. All right, where you talk about suicide, depression in your book, right?
Mm-hmm.
Talk about, as much as you're willing to share, or as little as you're willing to share, about your realization of the spiritual side of that journey. Wow. Does that make sense? Because a lot of people, I believe.
That's my favorite. Let me sit back.
Right. Love this story.
Yeah, because like I believe that a lot of people that deal with depression, suicide, anxiety, any really mental disorders, afflictions, diseases, are not aware of the spiritual side, right? Mm-hmm. And so you have history of education in this world, as well as just ministry and life experience, that I think is very important for people to know, because some people talk from one side where they're just all clinical and other people are just all spiritual. Mm-hmm. But I think you can talk from both, which is very important.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you were asking like...
At what point? So at what point, like where, from the jump, were you aware like this is spirit? Or were you like just going through it and then eventually you realize like this is a spirit that I need gone, you know what I'm saying? That mm-hmm. I need to be delivered from versus this is just what I'm dealing with right now. Because that's a big difference. I'm dealing with just depression or whatever mm-hmm. versus this is a spirit that Jesus has given me dominion over.
Yeah.
It's two different things.
I'll just preface everything by saying that some of what I'll discuss will be kind of graphic or triggering. I always do that. But I realized that I was dealing with a spirit. So the background with everything with my testimony is that I actually was introduced to self-harm at around like the age of 11. And it was back then, you know, it was like a fad kind of thing. Like, you know, like the kind of emo phase and all that. And it just eventually just kind of dwindled off. But the years where it kind of poked its head, I realized that when I was younger, I thought about death a lot. I thought about death as an escape and things like that. And so just progressing into adulthood when I was faced with just a really difficult time, and what triggered the head of everything was a relationship that I was in. I realized I was dealing with a spirit when I felt like I could not stop. I felt like I could not stop self-harming. I felt like I enjoyed the pain. And that's something that you hear about people that do self-harm a lot, is that mm-hmm. There's something enjoyable about that. Anybody that knows the heart of God, pain is not supposed to be enjoyable.
Yeah.
That alone.
No, yeah, not that way.
Not that mm-hmm. way. No, not that way. And so in addition to that, I went to a deliverance kind of retreat at the time, and I was actually delivered from a soul tie. And I went through the manifestation and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. The thing is, though, as it relates to like the suicide and the self-harm, Holy Spirit like did not, and I don't know why, but I did not become so aware of the fact that I had dominion over it until probably as I was like on my way out of it. Like mm-hmm. it was, I don't know if that was just to kind of groom my intimacy with the Lord, but how I got through that was really being very intimate with Him. As a father, but I didn't really understand that, like, I do not have to be subject to this until I was on my way out of it. Mm-hmm. And I think that was intentional. And so even just as I came out of it truly, because for a long time, I didn't know it was a spirit. Mm-hmm. I didn't understand. I really didn't. But if you go in Mark 5:5, there's a story about a boy who was cutting himself with stones. Like, yeah. This stuff is in the Bible. This stuff is not new. Mm-hmm. This is not new stuff. And so just by His grace, He began to reveal just more and more things to me that were in the Word, and how the end of that story is that, you know, it was a spirit, mm-hmm. right? Why would I not assimilate that to what I was going through? Like, it makes sense that this was completely something that had nothing to, like, it was not just me dealing with a hard season in my life.
Wow.
And then... you know, I went through multiple suicide attempts, and it became very clear to me, and this is just, again, progressively, things just start to click. The enemy had a plan for my life, too. Mm-hmm. A lot of times, like, we think about God, He has a plan, but the enemy really mm-hmm. wanted to take me out, and I was convinced that I was not going to make it. Mm. And so, but in the same vein, God's sovereignty showed me that this was a process that I had to endure. And so the word endure and endurance became like kind of like the staple for that season for me. Mm-hmm. And I think that, like, I don't know why. I mean, I don't know why Holy Spirit didn't reveal to me until kind of when I was on my way out of it that it was a spirit. I mean, I believe that later on it'll make sense. But I know that when I recognized it was a spirit, and like you said, because who I am, I'm kind of an anomaly. Not only do I have the clinical knowledge, I have the personal experience, and I've been equipped in the faith. Mm-hmm. And I believe the entire Bible in its entirety, the spirit realm and all that. And so, like, when he showed me that you were dealing with a spirit of death, you were dealing with a spirit of suicide, you were dealing with the spirit of self-hate and self-harm, soul ties, all that stuff, I was like, that's why it felt like I couldn't get out.
Yeah.
But at the same time, the Lord always knew I would make it out. He always knew I would endure through it. So, but then the key point, though, was when I realized that that was in the Bible, though.
Wow. Yeah.
When it was in the Bible that that boy was cutting himself with stones. Because a lot of people, they're just ignorant to the word of God. They don't know what's in it.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know that it's already there. It already exists,
yep.
You know? So.
Wow.
And that goes back to Ephesians, like the word, the sword mm-hmm. of the spirit.
Yeah.
The only, you weren't able to fight back until you got the sword, mm-hmm. the word. And so as you were speaking, I just feel led, like there's people listening to this episode dealing with suicide, you know, attempted suicide or thoughts of suicide, yeah. depression, anxiety, fear, like all these, anything of the mind, like this episode should actually bring you like hope
mm-hmm.
because you're like, oh, wait, this is just evil spirits. And I say just because I'm like, we've through Jesus, we have dominion over it.
Mm-hmm.
That, if I know this is a spirit versus I can't figure out what's wrong with me.
Mm-hmm.
Why do I keep wanting to do this? Why am I always worried? Why do I want to kill myself? Like,
mm-hmm.
this is a spirit. Now I know what I can do. Now I know what to pray for. Now I know what to pray against. Now I know that I can go to someone for deliverance.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's totally different.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'm gonna have you actually pray into that, Tari, and pray for anybody dealing with those things.
Okay. All right. Heavenly Father, we just come to you right now, God. Father, we thank you that you are the great I am. We thank you that all things created by you and for you are subject to your word, God. Father, we thank you that there is absolutely nothing on this side of heaven, Lord God, that you haven't already accounted for by your word, Lord. Yeah. So, Father, right now, I declare freedom over any person that is dealing with any mental afflictions, any mental anguish. I come against any spirit of suicide, any spirit of self-harm, any spirit of depression, heaviness, anxiety. All things considered, Lord God, anything that is not your will, God, because your will is that we would have the mind of Christ, Lord God. Your will is that we would have peace that surpasses all understanding. Your will is that we would move in dominion and authority according to Luke 10:19, Lord God. And so, Father, right now, I release the love of God and I release the peace of God. I release a sound mind in Jesus' name. And Father, I just pray right now that if there be any person under the sound of my voice that is feeling hopeless, Lord God, Father, may hope be restored right now in the name of Jesus. Father, freedom is your portion for each and every person that exists, for you knew them before they were formed in their mother's womb, Lord God. So, Father, right now, may the love of God arrest their pain. May the love of God arrest their anguish. May the love of God arrest the voids in their hearts right now, Lord God. Father, I declare right now that the hand of the enemy shall not prevail over any mind, over anyone that is listening to this podcast right now. Father, I thank you for dominion. I thank you for authority. And Father, I thank you for freedom that only you can give through your son, Jesus Christ, Lord. So Father, I thank you right now, God, for every person. I thank you for loving them so passionately, Lord God, and so compassionately, Lord. Father, I even pray right now that every person that's listening that is dealing with any sort of mental anguish, that they would know that you empathize with them. Yeah. You understand the pain in ways that no one else, not even themselves, can articulate. So, Father, may we not just account for the authority, but God, your love and relatability, Lord. You know what it's like to endure pain. You know what it's like to finish to the end. So, Father, give them that endurance. Give them that stamina. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Yeah. So,
could have kept going.
Man, this episode, like, for real, I mean, we could keep going. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to be responsible, and I use that word because this episode was a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're talking about the spirit realm. Some of y'all, like, I ain't know what this was. Some of y'all knew, whatever, whatever. But I want to leave with you knowing. I don't want, we're not just painting this picture or this place that is real, but like, I want you to know at the end, like, I have dominion over it. Mm-hmm. I have dominion over any demonic force. I have dominion over any thing that the enemy would try to do. And because of that dominion, you should have confidence, mm-hmm. right? And so as you go about your day or your week, just remember, I have dominion.
Yeah.
Not anything I do, not any, you know, people talk about deliverance and this and that. It's like delivering anybody from evil spirit is not, we're not doing it. Mm-hmm. You just literally are the hands and feet of Jesus at that time, right? I don't have any power.
Right.
Kevin don't have no power.
Right.
None of us sitting at this table have any power in the spirit to do anything
right.
apart from Jesus.
Yeah.
It is him that enables us. He just uses us, right? It's just mm-hmm. like we're literally a tool that he's mm-hmm. like, here's what, you know what? I'm going to use Rail today to help this person. I'm going to use Tari to pray for people. You know what I'm saying? And so have confidence. Have mm-hmm. peace. Like, when stuff comes up, remember, wait a sec, this ain't just a crazy week. Mm-hmm. This ain't just a crazy season. And even when you see, like, one thing that's going on even now, it's just, like, a lot of people dying in a short amount of time. Mm-hmm. When you start to witness that, you got to say, okay, let me pray against the spirit of death.
Right.
Let me pray for my family. Let me cover my home. Let me cover myself and pray, Lord, protect me from anything that the enemy will try to do to cause me to die before you've called me to, because there's authority. When you pray, it's not what we're doing. It's that we're agreeing with what God already said.
Yeah.
And so
that's good.
When we agree with what our God, with our Father said, things move.
Mm-hmm.
I talked to this guy. I was debating if I was going to share it or not. It was this guy at this gas station that I was at one night. And it was him and either his girlfriend, wife, I don't know. And their child was like maybe a 3-year-old girl. She was the sweetest little girl. She came up, she gave me a hug.
Aww.
And, you know, he was asking me for money. And I gave him some. And at first I was like, no, I didn't have any. I had some, mm-hmm. right? But I just didn't, you know, I was like, ah. But as I went to the store, I was like, okay, I felt led to give him some money. Mm-hmm. And so I gave him some, and I was talking to him. I was asking him if I could pray for him and all this stuff. And so I prayed with him, and I prayed, blah, blah, blah. I asked that God would provide for him. He was telling me he was just in a rough spot, that he was a mechanic and this and that. And so I was talking to somebody, so after I left, I was still sitting in my car in that area. And so he had came up to me and was literally like, yo, I just got a call that somebody needs their car to, like, worked on. They need some, you know, they need to do some work. So I literally just got this call.
Wow.
And he was like, what he said to me was, you might be like a prophet or something. I was like, I don't have to be a prophet to agree with what God said that he would provide for you.
There you go.
So
there
my point go. Is pray the word,
mm-hmm.
pray God's will,
mm-hmm.
and it will happen because you're mm-hmm. just agreeing with what he said. I didn't have to be prophetic to believe that God said that he is a provider
mm-hmm.
so right. that he would provide. And when I prayed that, again, like I said, I don't have any power. I didn't make somebody call him.
Right.
But literally God said, I agree, son.
Mm-hmm.
He does need provision. Here we go.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, dang, like, yo.
Wow.
You know, we know it. We pray all the time, like, Lord, bless me. Well, we know mm-hmm. it. But it's like, do you really believe That's that right. God has the authority to do whatever you ask him to
yeah.
do?
Yeah.
My God.
Wow, wow.
And so knowing that should build your confidence and increase your faith.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Bro, you got something to say?
I'm listening.
You ain't got no thoughts?
No, this is good.
All right.
All of this is so good.
All I just wanted to add, like, to, I don't know why I feel led, but if there's anybody that's listening and they feel like the word doesn't apply to their situation because it's too painful or because it's too big or it's too, it's beyond what you can articulate with words, the word of God endures forever.
Yeah.
It endures forever. So I just wanted to remind
whoever, if anybody is listening, that scripture is not dictated by your situations in life. Mm-mm. So, yeah.
That's great. Yeah. So I appreciate you guys for listening. Please continue and realize that we're not, this isn't a Bible study podcast. This isn't it. We're not preachers or teachers. Some of us might be, you know what I'm saying? There's some people here might be. But anyway, we're not. My point is, read the word.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Read for yourself. If we on here and we said a scripture and you're like, go read it yourself. Or we say anything and we're like, my word, whatever I say, don't ever go over what Jesus said and what mm-hmm. God said. And so if there's anything that you're like questioning about, blah, 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 of course, you can hit us up. But the word of God already got the answer for you. So
yes.
Go to that. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of A Christian Podcast. I pray that you enjoyed it. One thing that I want to encourage you guys to do as you listen to these episodes is not just to listen to them for yourself, but to take the conversations that we have on this show and have them in your personal life. Because that's all the Christian Podcast is. It's just an extension of my life and my life's conversations. Wherever I go, wherever I am, I'm having these conversations. People tell me all the time, like, the show just seems so natural. It is natural. Like, this is what I do. This is what me and my friends do. We have conversations about God, about this, about sin, about all of these things all the time. So I encourage you to take these questions, even if you got to take them, like, literally, as you listen to the podcast, write them down. Write the question down. Put them in your phone, whatever. And whenever you're out with your friends, just, you know, spark the conversation. And you never know what God would do as you begin to have these Christ-centered conversations. But again, thank you guys for listening. And remember to make today worth living. Peace.